It's great to be together today and beginning today and going through the start of the new year to Monday, January 7th. I want to tell you about the mercy and compassion of God. This is a series I originally taught this summer, but I invite you to listen to it again or for the first time because I think this will be of great benefit to you. This also gives me an opportunity to retreat to my study so that I can put the finishing touches on a brand new series I have for you beginning January the 8th, 2019, which is just less than 2 weeks away. Pray for me as I put this together and journey with me starting today deep into the Gospel of Mark as Jesus himself proves to us that God is merciful. Who is God? God is merciful. And in this series together, we're going to learn that God, through the life of Jesus Christ, provides mercy to us. And to do this, we'll read in the Word of God. The Bible is our only source for telling us who God is. So if you have your Bible there with you, please turn with me to Mark's Gospel and put a finger at chapter 1. You say, well, I'm otherwise occupied, or I don't have a Bible with me. No worries. You'll be able to listen along as I read the text. This is the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1. The New Testament opens with Matthew, and then we come to Mark. So I will begin today's reading at verse 14, and I will stop along the way to make some comments as we move through this first chapter. This is Mark 1 and verse 14. Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." So here we meet Jesus, and he comes into Galilee, and he's preaching. Jesus was a preacher. And what's he preaching? It's the gospel of God. Jesus speaks and says, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is his message. Now tuck this away in your mind and remember it. Jesus is preaching the gospel of God. And as we continue the reading in verse 16, we find out that Jesus commands some men to follow him. This is Mark chapter 1 and now verse 16. As he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were also in the boat mending the nets. Immediately Jesus called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow Jesus. So here Jesus calls and these men follow. Their names are Simon and Andrew, they're brothers, and then James and John, and they are brothers. So we have two sets of brothers. Jesus told them to follow him, and they did. They left their fishing business. And James and John left their dad, a man named Zebedee. So they left the family businesses to follow Jesus. And when we read what follows, we learn that these four men, now followers of Jesus, are about to have their minds blown. What they are going to see Jesus do will be transformative for them, to say the least. In verse 21 of Mark 1, the action starts right away. I'm reading now Mark 1, beginning at verse 21. They went into Capernaum. Let me pause there. Notice Jesus and his followers. Simon, Andrew, James, and John are on the move. They met along the Sea of Galilee, and now they go into Capernaum. Capernaum is a town right at the north end of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus is going to spend time there. By the way, Capernaum is the hometown of these four men who are now following him, plus Matthew, another of Christ's disciples. All right, back to the text. Mark 1, verse 21. And immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and began to teach. They were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet," and come out of him. Throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. They were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Immediately, the news about Jesus spread everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. Whoa, powerful. I told you that what Simon, Andrew, James, and John will be witness to would be transformative. Jesus clearly has authority, and he has authority to do what? It's two things here. One, Jesus has authority to teach. And two, Jesus has authority over unclean spirits. Verse 22, he was teaching them as one having authority. Verse 27, he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. All right, thus far, all I've done is to read Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 28, and I made some comments along the way. And all of you can do this as well. You just pick up your own copy of God's Word, read it verse by verse, and make observations along the way. And let's continue to do that now by returning to the text at verse 29. Mark 1, verse 29 says, "And immediately after they came out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately they spoke to Jesus about her. And he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them." I told you that. These followers of Jesus lived right there along the Sea of Galilee, and now Jesus is in the home of Simon and Andrew just in time to heal Simon's mother-in-law. A miracle. Jesus is a miracle worker. This woman has a fever, but when Jesus touches her, he raised her up by taking her by the hand. The fever disappears, and immediately she is well. In fact, she feels better to the point where she waits on them. There's no Tylenol or Advil necessary here. Jesus heals. Keep this in mind as we proceed over the next several days together here on God Is. But as we return to our reading in Mark 1, we quickly realize this miracle of healing is only the start of Jesus' healing ministry. If you're following along, go to verse 32 and listen now to the Bible. In Mark 1, verse 32, "When evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city had gathered at the door, and he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was." Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Simon and his companions searched for him. And they found him and said to Jesus, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus said to them, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." And he went into their synagogues all throughout Galilee, preaching and casting out the demons. Oh, this keeps getting better and better. Now what have we learned? Jesus heals many who were ill with various diseases, and Jesus cast out demons. And then Jesus practices what I call the twin P's. He prays and preaches. Verse 35 says, "Jesus woke up early in the morning, and in the darkness went off to pray alone, all by himself." That's the first P, prayer. And after this time of refreshment, communicating with God the Father, then again Jesus takes the men and they go throughout Galilee and Jesus preaches. That's the second P, preaching. Prayer and preaching always go together. Pastors within the sound of my voice, modeling our ministries after Jesus, this is our practice too. We pray, then we preach, and then we repeat. The miracle power and preaching of Jesus has been unleashed on the people along the Sea of Galilee. And that brings us to the text that I really want to focus on, Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. I'm reading that now, Mark chapter 1 and verses 40 through 45. "And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him, and falling on his knees before him, and saying, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And Jesus sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And Jesus said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them.' But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to Jesus from everywhere. There's a certain word that I would like you to highlight in this true story of Jesus healing the leper, and that is the word compassion in verse 41. Let me read that again. Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the leper, and Jesus said to him, "I am willing. Be cleansed." What did Jesus feel towards this man? Compassion. And in Greek, this word means to be moved in the inward parts, to be moved in the emotions, moved in the heart for pity, for compassion. Listen, for mercy. Jesus is human, and like all human beings, Jesus has emotions. In his inner person, he is moved with compassion for this man. And you need to know more about this word for compassion. It's only used in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John does not use this word. And apart from the parables of Jesus, this word is only used in reference to Christ Jesus. So this is a compassion that is unique to Jesus, as the word is used by, for example, Mark here in this text. We will see this word again and again within Mark's gospel. So highlight the word compassion here in verse 41. And again, the compassion that Jesus expresses is reflective of the mercy he shows to this leper. And there's quite a bit within the details of this story that we need to know in order to grasp the great depths of compassion, the depths of mercy that Jesus was giving to this leper. So when you come back next time, I will tell you more. Today, we've begun this short series on the mercy of God, in which we will find the depths of Jesus' compassion for people. Do you need compassion in these days following Christmas? Are you in need of the mercy of God as this year comes to an end? I invite you to be here every weekday at this same time so that you can learn that God is indeed merciful, and his mercy is available to you. So let's end 2019 strong in the Word of God. So join me tomorrow as we continue to learn that God is merciful.